You may be seated. And Caden, you can pick out songs anytime, I think. So Wednesday night, we finished here, and I had a meeting with TJ and Owen. And we got to the office right over here, and we stayed for about an hour, hour and a half. Finally, around 10, we realized, hey, we need to cut and run, go take care of our families and other things. And I just want to tell you, if you haven't spent time with TJ, who was just doing our communion, Owen, who's also leading with our youth, they are just excited about their work in ministry, your families, your children, and the opportunities that are before us. And I want to just add a little asterisk to today's service. I remember when I was growing up, there was this Christian group that had a song about excuses. Excuses. And how many things that come to our mind that, keep us away from church. The devil, he'll supply them, if from church you'll stay away, was kind of the tagline. And, oh, those pews are too hard, but staying out at the ball game on the bleachers is no problem. Oh, the preacher goes too long, but extra innings is no problem. Well, the whole family had to stay home just because a little kid had a runny nose. Excuses, excuses. Today, a young man, his home is being repaired and things are not as they would wish. And yet he has made the purposeful decision to be here with us. And I also grew up in a tradition where, like, what you wore was a symbol of your faith. I don't believe that anymore. I have been to a variety of places where literally people had no clothes. Literally no clothes. But you could see that God was their God. And they were happy to worship together. I'm happy that you come, or many of you, some of you, come and you have purposely chosen an outfit that helps you really focus on giving your best to the Lord. But in our world, with so many things are distraction that keep us separated from being together as a family and worshiping God, I'm thankful for TJ and for Owen, for their families and what they are doing within our congregation. And if you haven't, I encourage you to sit back and watch. Participate in their retreats, their classes. Even tonight, there's a youth devotional right here. Come be a part of that and just see. You will be blessed and you'll be drawn closer to the Lord. We finished our meeting Wednesday night. And we were kind of nerding out on different little biblical topics and things that after we kind of finished our agenda. And they got to talking about how they enjoyed reading Scripture. And so the next morning I woke up, about 6 or so, I picked up my phone and I just sent a text to these guys. I said, hey, what are you reading? And instantly back came a picture of some Scripture that one was reading, the concept of another study. The next day the same thing happened, Friday morning. Instead, this time, TJ with his little son reading Scripture together. I want to challenge us to be people of the Word. I want to be challenging us to be people who are loving God and God's Word. Last week, the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about this unfolding of our talent and reminding ourselves that God has given talent to each and every one of us. That there is something in us that God has already prepared or given as a talent that we can unfold, unwrap, and start to use and mature and grow, that will be a blessing and a benefit for His kingdom. We looked at several passages that speak directly to that. And we've been challenging ourselves to use and to utilize, to grow in that. We've been reminded of what Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, talking about some specifics of teaching, of serving, encouraging, giving, leading, and showing mercy. And Paul, talking to Timothy, this young man, he says, I see in you this talent. I want to encourage you to fan into flame. That's the old campfire thing, trying to get this thing to come to life. And you've got a piece of cardboard or a big billow that you're pumping air into, and you're giving this encouragement and blessing and life, and you want to see this spark join into a flame. And Paul writes that to Timothy. And last week we were talking about this idea of these four generations. As Paul continues to talk to Timothy, he says, I see in you this, that this is supposed to become a flame. And as the things that I've taught you, I want you to teach to these people, who will then teach to those people, who will then pass it on to even more people. I want to see this four generations of growth. I want this to continue and continue as we see life develop, as we see faith unfolding in all that we do. And we looked at this idea of being learners and leaders because God has given us a talent. There's something unique that we get to bring into one another's lives, into our world, that should be brightening and blessing those that are around us. And so we talked about the idea of being a learner and a leader and never walking alone. Today I want to continue this idea a little bit further. I want us to see the God who has prepared the youth for our talent, or talents, as many have. I want us to see that God has purpose and plan in preparation for what we are to do, but we are a God who cares about how we live our life. I want you to notice real clearly, God cares about how we use our talent. And in fact, as I've been preparing for this series, that's been my working title all along, God Cares. But the last couple weeks, I wanted to take it one more step to help us to see not only does God care, but God rewards those who are utilizing their God-given talents. Last week, I was with a home group, and we were watching this video of Francis Chan, and he was talking about James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And he's talking about a way that God is interacting into our lives, that God cares, that God has purpose. And listen to what James writes in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy. Getting excited about something that God wants us to be joyful about. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, and not lacking in anything. And in this video, Francis Chan was talking about this word testing. That this is actually an old word that comes back to the blacksmiths or the metal workers, as they would put gold or silver into the fire, as they would heat it up to a melting point, and they would scrape off all that is not pure, all this dross and things, and it would just continue to heat and to spill off the impurities of life. And James is saying you're going through this testing, these trials, because it's going to produce something of even greater value. God rewards those who are going to put their talents to work for Him. And he gives this picture at the end of a metal worker knowing when it's finished. As God can look into what He has been melting and testing, taking out, and He can see His own reflection there in that metal. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what God is trying to do in our lives? The concept is holiness and not happiness. When we see that word, consider it pure joy, our thought is vacation, relaxation, but God's thought is something even greater and purposeful in our lives. Consider it pure joy. He wants to purify us. He wants to remake us until He can see His own reflection in our lives. So often, isn't it true that our reflection looks more like the world, more selfish and self-centered than it does Christ-centered or God-focused. So I want to challenge us. I want us to think that God really does care about how we use our time and our talent and our treasure. These things that we've been talking over the last few months, to see that God is concerned, but not in a judgment way, but in a preparation way, in a blessing way, that the way that we use our time and our talent and our treasure, that God is going to enhance us. He's going to rip those things that are impure or ungodly. It is of the world, and He's going to help us to be a reflection of only Him, and that we are to unfold our talents. I want you to think about this for a moment. When you go to a restaurant, you unfold that menu to see what its real value and purpose is. When you are out on a road trip, at least several years ago before we had GPS, you would unfold the map to see really where you wanted to go. If you had a lapse in your preparations as you're writing a letter or whatever, have you ever crinkled up something and thrown it away only later to realize, oh, I needed that, and you come back and you unfold it and you use it once again? What about Swiss Army knife? Or in this day, this spring, the unfolding of the flowers, this blossoming, the instructions. Maybe we think of unfolding our talents like a parachute in a critical situation, a blanket on a cold night, or unfolding a tent or a sleeping bag. Maybe it's the accordion as you're trying to make music, a beautiful peacock. Whatever the case may be, these are illustrations of the way that God wants us to develop in our talent, in our time, and in our treasure for Him. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25 with me. Matthew chapter 25 gives us a clear understanding of some things that God is calling us to do with our talent. And it's a picture that maybe will be contrary to a lot of our wants or wishes of how we want God to utilize our talents. But God is wanting us to use our time, to use our talents, so that we are going to be useful for Him. Listen to Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to start in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. Verse 32, all the nations will gather before Him. Pause right there, just underline, all the nations. We live in a world in which our concept of God sometimes was diminished in how He was going to work in the world, that some people from some places or with certain attributes were somehow disqualified or disgraced or lowered. God is saying, all people will come before Him. It doesn't matter the skin or the location or the heritage or the economics or who you are, male, female, Jew or Gentile, all are being called before the Lord. And He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. And then in verse 34, the king will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the earth. Listen to what He's saying to those that He's drawing closer to Him. Verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. For I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. Pause right there. In use of our talents, doesn't that sound like I was hungry, I was thirsty? Doesn't that sound like a mom or a dad taking care of some kids? I mean, the first words that a kid says is, mama. And then the next thing is, mama, I'm hungry. That's how it went in our house. God says, those who were hungry and you fed, those who were thirsty. Now, this probably is more than just a parent to a child as we look into the world, as we look at those who are really in need, because He continues on. He says, that I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Verse 37, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and we clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers, sisters of mine, you did for me. Hungry, thirsty, strangers, in need, in prison, and sick. Think about that for just a moment, as God is calling us to use our talents. Now, that's not the picture that I have in my mind of what my talents are going to be used for. It is not going to be in those difficult situations, in those random moments of life, in those things that just don't seem to really have great value. But that's what the king says is going to be the dividing line for us. And so if we're talking about using our time and our talent and our treasure for the glory of God, then isn't this what we should be partaking in? He's already talked about being teachers, being equippers, being trainers, being servants, being those who are giving and contributing, and those are also our talents as we serve within the kingdom. But here are some specifics in which God is calling us to live and to act. C.S. Lewis says, hardship often prepares ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny. Isn't that what is happening here? The king is separating these people, all nations, and those that have participated in feeding or giving drink or inviting in or giving clothes, visiting and helping those that are sick. He says, come to me and reap your reward. The story continues on, verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, for you are cursed, into an eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. And they will also answer, Scripture says, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, truly I tell you, whoever did not do for the least of one of these, you did not do for me. Then go away into their eternal punishment, but the righteous to the eternal life. God is a God who cares how we use our time, our talent, and our treasure. God is a God who rewards those who will use their time, talent, and treasure. And He's specific about what He's calling us to do. Will we be individuals who will take up this call to participate with those that are hungry, those that are thirsty, those that are in need, those that are in situations that we could not understand or have lived through, but yet we will be a blessing for them? As we see life, how do we see life? It's been said that we all are faced with a series of great opportunities, brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. Will we join with what God is calling us into? There's a story of this great cathedral in London. This is St. Paul's Cathedral. It was a great fire in 1666. And the architect came back to restore it and to work through some of the great design of all this. And there was a massive amount of workers who were out with the stained glass windows and the bricklaying and all the structures that are going on. And the architect is trying to get a survey of what's going on. And he talks to one bricklayer and says, what are you doing? And the bricklayer says, I'm just a bricklayer. I'm just trying to make a living for my family. He comes to another man and says, what is your role and responsibility? The bricklayer says, I am just a bricklayer. I'm trying to build this wall. The architect comes to a third worker. who seems maybe a little bit more productive than the first two. And he says, "What are you doing?" And this bricklayer says, "I am building a cathedral for the Almighty." How do you see your tasks? As mundane? As simple work? Or as a gift to the Father? I want us to understand the reward that God has for us. And so Matthew points this out about the master who gives these talents or this gold to his servants. And he goes off and he comes back and he judges the servants based on what they have done. The one that he gave five, he comes back and the servant says, I've taken your five and I have now given you an additional five. Another one, he comes back and the servant says, I've doubled that. And each time Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. The last one that the master gave a servant just one bag of gold or one talent to, comes back and the servant says, Master, I was afraid because you are a hard master. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to work. And so I've hid your talent. I've hid your resources. And here is the one that you gave me and I'm giving it back to you. And the master says, that's not what I wanted at all. Punishment is now your. It's what you deserve. Jesus continues on in this story about the sheep and the goats and the separation. But the story continues in Matthew chapter 26, if you'll look there. Starting in verse 6, there is this beautiful story of what is to come. As Jesus now is dealing in personal life, no longer a fictitious or parable story, Jesus is bringing this indication to life. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, Matthew 26, verse 6 through 13. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, a woman, Luke would say this is a very sinful woman, who's weeping and sorrowful, came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on Jesus' head as he was reclining at the table. And when the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste? They asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Verse 10, Jesus, aware of what they were saying, says, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me." You remember those phrases just the chapter before? Whenever you did it to the least of these, you were doing it to me. Now this person is actually doing it to the figure Jesus. And Jesus is giving praise and recognition. He understands when we use our time, our talent, and our treasure, that he will give a reward. He will give some sort of accolade. He will give praise because that is what we are designed to do. God is calling us to go into places, to be with people. As he demonstrates here, Simon, who is that? Simon the leper, Simon the one who is sick, who is diseased, who is cut off from his community, who has some sort of history and disconnection. Jesus puts himself right there. This woman who is in other scripture given the illustration of sinful, again, disconnected, one who is living in a not right way. She comes and she gives this offering back to Jesus. Now the real reward in all this is the praise that we get from God. Well done, good and faithful servant. As God is recognizing the things that we are bringing to him, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing. And the reward is that God will give those who use and utilize their talents even more. That was the first story in Matthew chapter 25 of the servants who were given five or two or one. Had they used and utilized, God would prepare them for even greater works. We're talking about who we are in response to God. Now, way back in like the Bible days, in ancient times, as people had a variety of different crafts, as they would make metalwork or bricklaying or some sort of artistry or tapestry. They would often sign their name on the back of their work. And instead of a full engraving of their name, they would put one symbol on the back. And that became representative of who they were and the type of work that they offered. And if a bricklayer would stamp his stamp, and then over time his brick walls would crumble and fall, that stamp became known as something of lesser value. If a goldsmith or a silversmith would make something that became beautiful and lasting and represented something of worth that continued to grow, that stamp on the back would be something of great value and importance and recognition. That stamp is called his character in ancient times. And Jesus is calling us in our abilities to develop our character, our lifestyle of use of time and talent and treasure into something that is worthwhile and meaningful to others. So watch your thoughts because they become words. Watch your words because they become actions. Watch your actions because they become habits. And watch your habits because they become your character. And watch your character because that becomes our destiny. Brothers and sisters, we're talking about something that is significant. Either God is refining us or God is defining us. God is making us more like Him, or He is giving a decree. Worthless, useless, character of diminishing quality and return. The choice is really before us. Do we believe in a God who will give graciously when we give? A God who has purpose and value for our lives greater than what we currently are achieving? Do we believe in a God who has desire to use even me? I was talking to a friend not too long ago, and he says, I have this nagging thought in my mind that if you, Matt, really knew how much time or talent or treasure that I've wasted, if God really were to account for all the things that I have neglected in my life, there's no way that I could make up for this in the remaining part of my life. And I'm reminded of this story. It was told by Paul Faulkner. He's a family therapist. He tells of a man who set out to adopt this troubled teenager. And everybody in this man's life questioned the father's logic. This girl was destructive, she was disobedient, she was dishonest. In fact, one day she came home early from school and she just ransacked the house. She was looking for a little bit of extra cash, destroyed everything in her look. And while she finally found or didn't find, she left the house. And when the man finally came home, the whole house was in total disrepair. And all of his friends said, "You need to get rid of her. Let her go," they said. "After all, she's not really your daughter." And he simply replies, "Yes, I know that. But I've told her that she is. I told her that she is." Do you hear God speaking right now? I've given a talent to each and every one of you. And maybe we've lived our life as if we don't have talent or worth. Maybe we have lived for our own pleasure or glorification, our own self-centered ideas. And now we hear once again what God is really calling us to do. Will we change our ways? The biblical word is repent. But will we change from the direction that we were going of self-centered to God glorification? Will we live for His desire and His purpose? Will we allow Him to be our Father, our Director, our Lord, our Master? Or will we live as our own Lord and Master of our own lives? God does not call the most qualified or talented. But he uses those that will listen to him, his call. He has called you. He wants to adopt you. He wants to love you. And he wants you to know that you are wanted and loved. God is a God who rewards those who will give freely and faithfully of their time, talent, and treasure. This morning, will you make him the Lord of your life? In all three areas, not holding back, but giving faithfully, graciously, so that he will be glorified. And you will hear this word, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enjoy the reward that I have prepared for you in advance before all of time." Will you enjoy just this moment? The choice is ours. Make of it what you will. Our shepherds are standing by and they would love to counsel you and direct you. If you want to give your life over to the Lord, the Creator, if you want to declare publicly right now that you're ready to be dead to yourself and raised anew, our baptistry is ready. The time is now for us to choose to give and to give to Him alone. Let's stand together and sing this song.
Lord, take my